Hello and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, of course, as we do on Zombie Takeout every year in our last episode of the year, we're going to go through our best of 2018, our favorite albums that we've reviewed throughout the year. On Zombie Takeout, we usually do a worst list too. We didn't have five albums between us that we didn't recommend, so we just have best lists. And so starting at number 10, I think this is the one on my list that might surprise you. At War with the Mystics by Flaming Lips. I actively disliked them before I reviewed the album. I was not a fan. I didn't get them. I didn't understand what they did. I listened to that album. I finally get Wayne Coyne.
I hear they might be touring like a full, like doing an album for the, playing the entire Soft Bulletin.
Nice.
And I would definitely love to see that. I think I regret missing them in concert this year, but hopefully we'll catch them.
At number nine, another one that you put on the list, Actor by St. Vincent. Again, I was not a fan. I didn't actively dislike her. I just wasn't impressed with what I heard until I heard a full album and really got what she did. And in the week or two following, bought all of her albums and became a huge fan. At number eight, speaking of St. Vincent, Love This Giant by David Byrne and St. Vincent. A masterpiece. At number seven, Phosphorescent Blues by Punch Brothers. Their latest album is now in contention for my favorite album of all time, with my number one on this list, of course, which I don't think will surprise anybody. But Love Phosphorescent Blues. It was just that one pop song I just didn't care for. At number six, speaking of masterpieces, Especially For You by The Smithereens. At number now we get into the ones that I didn't even have to think of going into this list because they're all my Desert Island discs. We've done five of my Desert Island discs this year. It was just a matter of what order to put them in. At number five, Final Boss by MC Frontalot. I could listen to him endlessly. I just love his voice, love the way he works rhythms and music and words. At four, Comfort Eagle by Cake, the latest addition to my Desert Island discs. I went through and listened to the rest of their discography. It's still my favorite. I mean, everything they do is great, but yeah, Comfort Eagle is still my favorite. At number three, this is probably a controversial choice, but as you know, I have talked about them ad nauseum, so it's not shouldn't surprise that they came into the top three. World Domination by Bandmade. At number two, an album that I spent about 2 or 3 months after it came out listening to nothing else, Artificial Heart by Jonathan Colton. And unsurprisingly, at number one, as I've said many times, my favorite album of all time, and my voice is on it, so all the better, Standing Stones by Marianne Call.
All right, so I'm starting us off with TV on the Radio, Seeds at number 10, Comfort Eagle, Cake at number 9, They Might Be Giants, Flood at number 8, St. Vincent, Actor, Open Mic Eagle, Brick Body, Kid Still Daydream, number 6, The Smithereens at number 5, the one that really started us all off this year. We're beginning and ending with tributes, of course. It's very fitting. Very telling, of course, for just what goes on in music now. We're just waiting for the next one to drop. Number 4, David Byrne, American Utopia. Number 3, The Flaming, and of course, the David Byrne one for the year. Stuff released this year would probably be pretty close to the top. I think probably in my top 3 of the year. Then definitely hands down the best show I've seen this year. That show he put on was just incredible. And just blows everybody away, honestly.
Byrne was at 4, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, 3.
At 3, The Flaming Lips at War with the Mystics. 2, of course, Love This Giant. And 1, the best I think we've done, The Moody Blues, Days of Future Past.
Okay. I was right. We agreed on half of our list.
Yeah.
All right. So on to this week's album, which, as you mentioned, is a tribute to the late, great Pete Shelley from Buzzcocks. And it is Another Music in a Different Kitchen by Buzzcocks. As you, if you're watching this, you know, the thumbnail for this episode just says Another Music ... it's one of those weeks I'm really happy for copy and paste.
Yeah.
And no, we're not doing that Fiona Apple album. All right, so Buzzcocks are still around, an English punk band formed in Bolton, England in 1976 by singer-songwriter guitarist Pete Shelley and singer-songwriter Howard Devoto. They are regarded as a seminal influence on the Manchester music scene, the independent record label movement, punk rock, power pop, and pop punk. I shouldn't like them if they're involved with pop punk. Devoto left the band in 77, after which Pete Shelley became the principal singer-songwriter. Shelley unfortunately died on 6 December 2018. I forgot to rewrite that from a British site.
and of course, but pop punk back in this time isn't quite the dirty word that it is now. Right,
it was before Green Day.
Exactly.
Leaving the future of the band uncertain. So they are technically still together. They haven't decided what they're going to do yet, at least with the Wikipedia article.
I can't see. It's like doing Smithereen stuff
without Denizio. They did like a tribute appearance and then that was it.
I even heard Ted Leo did something with them actually, like singing.
But yeah, they can't continue as a Smith. I don't think they did continue as a Smithereens without him. They just did like a tribute show and that was it. Tribute
here and there, yeah.
And I suspect Buzzcocks are going to do the same thing. There'll be a tribute show and that'll be that. Yeah. Another music in a different kitchen is the band's debut studio album.
Really? I thought this was the second.
This was the first. They had some singles before then, but this was the first album. The album's title was inspired by a collage by Linder Sterling. According to Shelley, Howard said, another housewife stews in her own juice in a different kitchen. We shuffled it around a bit and it came out like that. another music in a different kitchen was released on March 10th, 78. I remember to switch that one around. Produced by Martin Rushent and features Pete Shelley on lead guitar and lead vocals, Steve Diggle on rhythm guitar and backing vocals, Steve Garvey on bass guitar, and John Marr on drums and percussion. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into the episodes for copyright reasons, but down in the description and on our blog at johnandscottet.com, you'll find links to find the album on Spotify and YouTube. Oh, speaking of Spotify, they only have the 96 UK EMI reissue, so that's what we're reviewing. There are a few extra songs tacked onto the end.
Now, they didn't work with Martin Hannon on this one?
No, it was Martin Rushent, who has produced a number of other artists in this similar vein. I can't remember any names offhand, but he's got a pretty good track record.
Because, I mean, they did some work with Martin Hannon, too. Of course, legendary punk producer himself.
Starting with track one, Fast Cars. No, not the Tracy Chapman song. That's Fast Car.
Anyone else hoping for a punk version of Tracy Chapman's song? Just me.
This is an interesting sound because it's a classic thin punk guitar sound.
Yeah.
But it's not irritating. It's not harsh.
Well, the first surprising thing, if you haven't heard this before, and I've only heard singles from the Buzzcocks.
I should mention this is my first exposure to any full songs from the Buzzcocks. All I'd heard before was a snippet of What Do I Get in a Commercial.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, there's the other choice was, of course, the other song is I Believe, which is just fantastic, too. Mm-hmm. But there's a few songs that I was familiar with. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time, just going deep and hitting a whole album for me. So the first thing you'd be surprised with is it's a punk band, but there's a 40-second long intro.
Oh, yeah.
As long as some punk songs entirely.
Punk does not sum them up. They talk about, I mentioned pop punk. There are shades of a lot of other genres here, which is very impressive for the mid to late 70s. Love the bass sound. Nice mid-rangey bass tone. I think it's a Music Man Stingray, which is surprising because I normally don't like them. I hate active pickups. Guitar players and bass players understand that. And so I usually don't like Stingrays, but it sounds great here. Really punches through the guitars.
I mean, it sounds like that's what they're really, it's basing this song on. The song is on the back of the bass.
And it is throughout the album. They give, was it Steve Garvey? Yeah, a lot of room to play, which I really like as a bass player myself. Really like the spoken vocals. This really kind of feels more melodic and poppy than most punk, but not in the vocals. It was all in the song structure.
Like when you take like the Ramones, like a lot of those songs are driven by the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just those crunchy, mm-hmm. you know, quick riffs that they're just playing.
I'm not sure who came first. I suspect Buzzcocks were first, but they remind me a lot of the Jam.
Oh, yeah, they probably are around the same time.
Okay. They're very similar. The Jam were a bit lighter, but there's a similar kind of tightness and with the big punchy bass. And,
yeah.
Kind of, again, that poppy influence.
Like, I think it's all from the same scene, and you can just see how
probably.
They all influenced each other. Like, the Sex Pistols influenced these guys mm-hmm. so much.
Unfortunately. Well, we've talked about Sex Pistols. someone we knew in college referred to them as the Monkees of Punk for a reason.
He's not wrong.
But anyway, the song structures were really interesting on this album because they weren't the conventional punk song structures.
Not at all.
They were conventional kind of pop song structures played punk because the vocals aren't pop at all. And they've got this big brass guitars. The effect at the end of the song was very classic 70s.
You kind of feel like it's a mindless song until he gets to the line, "Sooner or later, you'll listen to Ralph Nader." You're like, yeah. Whoa.
I definitely thought of Jello Biafra on that line.
Yeah, definitely. It just all of a sudden, it just locked the whole thing together. And you're like, wait a minute, he's getting at something here. It's not just
a stupid,
I don't like cars.
Because the whole song is about how he doesn't like fast cars.
Right, right. And then, he gets it. It's kind of repetitious and just, I mean, you're like, what's he doing? And then he gets to this line of sooner or later, you listen to Ralph Nader. And he gets a few others off that aren't quite as, you know, catchy, but he spells out what this is about and why he doesn't like fast cars. You're like, whoa.
Horrible for the environment and, gas guzzling and all that.
Yeah.
That was impressive that it was that kind of social consciousness on what really is kind of a very poppy album that you would never have expected that with.
The way it's set up too, it's he's singing it like they're idiots, kind of like, we don't like fast cars kind of thing. And then all of a sudden he just mm-hmm. kicks into this and you're just like, oh, he's been playing us this whole time.
On to track two, No Reply. This is kind of like punk with new wave vocals.
And just for the record, this is also a year before Pink Floyd's The Wall and Nobody Home, where they begin the Sailor song with that dial tone.
Okay.
Or that busy signal.
Shelley's voice was interesting because he went really punk sometimes, really new wave at other times, very poppy at points. He was, it's not a conventionally, it wasn't a conventionally good voice, but it was very utilitarian.
Yeah. He really takes advantage of his whine.
Yeah, yeah. I also noticed that the guitar solos tend to follow the vocal melody, which obviously Kurt Cobain borrowed from.
Yeah, the guitar here is really just to add color, mm-hmm. to the song.
Yeah. And it's just that little instrumental break to give his voice a rest, and he just plays the melody because it's a good melody, and he just comes back to the singing. Love the vocal harmonies at the end.
It's kind of the way Rage Against the Machine put their songs together musically, mm-hmm. where it's really the bass and drums, the rhythm section
drives it. Yeah,
yeah, and then the guitar is just there for color.
Mm-hmm. On to track three, You Tear Me Up. This opens up with a really nice blast beat. It's kind of early hardcore.
Yeah.
And the guitars have a much fuller sound on this one.
It's two in a row of seemingly about personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the opening track, of course, is political. And this is more personal, the two of them. Right. So you're kind of like...
Which is a nice blend.
Yeah.
On to track four, Get On Your Own. Really love the separation between the guitars on this one. Because Steve Diggle is credited with rhythm guitars, but his playing is just as interesting as Shelley's. And they're really nicely separated with the bass right in the middle. It's a beautifully mixed album, for a punk album especially.
Do you think it's just because it's a reissue, or do you think they
it could
did
be a
this?
bit remastered. I would love to hear the original to see if
Yeah.
it does sound that evenly spaced, that you know, well mastered next. The ooze kind of make it feel a bit glam on this one. There's these ooze in the background. They definitely give it a little bit of a glam feel. And that's one thing I noticed that was interesting about them in general. They kind of bridge glam, punk, and new wave.
They do. They they really, you know, glam it up.
Mm-hmm. And I love the melodic guitar solo. I was really struck by Shelley's guitar work, his solos particularly, because he's very melodic. He doesn't do the cheesy two-note. He does the two-note riffs here and there, but he doesn't do the like two-note guitar solos that you find a lot in punk.
Yeah.
Or just trying to play quick and noisy. He actually does play very melodically, which I appreciate. On to track five, Love Battery. A really shrill guitar sound like this would have normally bothered me, but it's actually growing on me by this point.
This one, they really bring out the full Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Vocals are a bit low in the mix, but it actually kind of works for this song.
And of course, this was somebody, some fool somewhere, had the idea that this was going to be a single somehow. So they were really selling it as a single when they were putting it together here. Uh-huh. But of course no one was going to fucking play this. I don't know if anybody played this now, never in 78.
Okay, so you paid more attention to the lyrics than I did, because I'd never heard it before.
You didn't need to pay attention to the lyrics. You know, practically jizzing towards the end of the song there.
I really don't remember what the lyrics were about. On to track 16. This is my favorite in the album.
This does take off in more interesting directions, doesn't it?
It starts with this kind of metal riff. In 76, before metal was even really a thing, I mean, yeah. Lemmy was just starting at this point. At least, you know, loud, fast metal. You know, we had plodding Black Sabbath before this. This was roughly the same year as Motorhead. So, you know, it was really ahead of its time.
Wait, was it 78 or 76?
Oh, I'm sorry. They got together in 76. This is 78. Yeah. So, yeah, Motorhead had started, kind of bridged that a little bit, but still very metal, early metal. And it's a punk song in 6/8. I think that's the first time I've heard that.
Is that what was going on there?
It's in 6 with a metal riff. Metal kind of palm muted thing, very ahead of its time. Love the low pitch guitar solos. He was another thing great. The great thing about Shelley's playing, he wasn't afraid of the low end of the neck. Hmm. So many guitar players, when they solo, go up to the high end and just to cut through. He really loved his low solos. Dug that. And the solo kind of sounds like a sax when it does get high.
Yeah,
which was an interesting effect that they used a few times on the album. Love how it gets kind of chaotic toward the end before the riff, the great, you know, metal riff comes back in. I just love that they went really chaotic. And the last line is how I wish they would stop. I always right. got to call out when the last, you know, the end of a song mentions it's going to stop, or the last song on an album does that. On to track 7, I Don't Mind.
This one, they pull out Ramones here.
Yeah, this is the weakest for me. It's a very poppy song, kind of sounds, or one of the weaker ones. Yeah, it's a very poppy, sounds kind of 60s. Like you said, Ramones. The
kids of today should defend themselves against the 70s.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to have this song structure with punk sounds. Lead guitar sounds like a sax again.
I mean, Shelley, with his voice being higher, he really does sell the Ramones sound more than the Ramones do, even. Of course, the Ramones weren't selling their sound. It was just, this is what we're doing. Fuck
right,
it, you know.
Right, yeah.
We're putting it on.
And Joey had a voice unlike anybody else.
Where he was actually going, all right, we're going to do this 60s kind of thing here, and we're going to do the background vocals, and we're going to do it right. Mm-hmm. Which is very odd for a punk band to decide to do, but he did it.
I say it's one of the weak. It's one of the weak ones for me now, but I think it's a song that if I listened to it more would grow on me. Just because I didn't know quite what to make of it the first time. because it is, you know, 60s and kind of folky or countryish mixed with punk. It was a weird mix for me.
Yes, it is.
On to track 8, Fiction Romance. They go kind of metal again. Great melody. Love the harmonic tension and the chorus. There's some harp, you know, the vocal goes against the chords a little bit.
It's strange because it's kind of low key, I thought.
Yeah.
For you know, again, for punk.
It does seem to speed up about halfway, though.
Yeah.
And it's gradual. It's like Come On
You're
Eileen.
Right. Yeah.
It's like a Come On Eileen speed up, but not as quick. You know, it just kind of feels like it's just getting a little bit.
They do throughout the song.
Best example, Against the Grain by Bad Religion.
Okay.
How that just gets a little faster every verse. They kind of pull that. At least it seems like it. I can't be sure. Love the kind of glam riff at the end. I love that they lean into glam here and there.
Yeah. It's kind of late to be leaning into glam.
Yeah.
Yeah, glam had already come and gone by this point.
On to track 9, Autonomy. The drums on the intro kind of, and it's on the turnaround, sound a bit disco.
Yeah, this is
interesting.
This is a very new wave kind of thing here.
It's a disco drum line with drum part, with metal guitars, a punk song structure.
Yeah.
I love the riff and the chorus. I love the tone of the guitar solos, this nice slow melody and this thick distortion. The riff at the end is great. The guitar sound kind of reminds me of early Rush.
I mean, this is stuff that new wave bands later, I think, did a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was doing it there around here, you know?
No. Well, New Wave wasn't really New Wave at this point.
No, it was not.
This was like early Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson and Graham Parker, when it was like Angry Young Man was the genre.
Right.
Before they really put New Wave together.
And I think maybe that's what they were just going for, that they were Angry Young Men.
Quite knew what to make of Talking Heads at this point.
Yeah.
Who were really the creators of New Wave, honestly, let's face it. On to track 10, I Need, another song that verges on hardcore. But with the
Talking Heads or Television, you think?
Oh, I forget about Television. That's a band I really need to get more into.
Like, they do a lot of things that are like, oh, the Talking Heads must have really listened to this.
Fair point. They might have been like the New Wave. I have to delve more into them. At least from a commercial standpoint, Talking Heads definitely were really one of the first big New Wave bands. Back to I Need, verges on hardcore, love the melody on the vocal.
It's like a spit of poo song.
Yeah. love the kind of high right side guitar part. There's another point where they split the guitars really nicely and do interesting things on each side. And there's a fucking bass solo.
The second listening, this really stands out, honestly. Yeah, so this is like, I'm definitely coming back for this album more.
On to the important one, moving away from the pulse beat.
So we thought Mars Volta invented prog punk, huh?
This is, I said 16 is my favorite. This is another favorite. It's close call. It's just beautifully weird.
They start with this Bo Diddley.
Yeah, I have it in my notes. SoundCloud is a technical term, a Bo Diddley beat. Love that. And it's just drums. And it's just drums for longer than it should be just drums.
Right.
And it's the longest song on the album, 7:04.
My second line is, wait, how long is this? That's bold.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Love how the guitars complement each other. And the bass is beautifully clear, even more so than usual on this one.
I mean, it's a punk jam.
Like, it is. And they just stick with the Bo Diddley beat.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping it would change about halfway through. And then there's this drum break, and I was getting kind of tired of it. And then it fades. Because I was getting tired around 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Five and change. At 5:17, it stops.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's dead silent.
With 2 minutes of space left at the end of the track. And then at 5:46, I specifically brought in wrote down the times. We get, no, I'm sorry. 5:46. We get the riff from the first song, Fast Cars.
Is that what that was?
I went through and listened to the songs because I knew it was a previous song. They come in with the intro to Fast Cars at 5:46. And then that just turns into this ascending, or what I'm thinking is an organ part that just goes up and up and up.
Like they took it directly from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Probably. Or wherever ELP got it from. And I should point out, this was the last song on the original release.
That's like the end of the end of the one the one with the computer.
Okay.
Carnival.
Oh, okay.
It's like the very end of that Carnival.
Is it? Okay. Suite, because I've only really heard Carnival Online, of course.
It's just like that. Well, that is, of course, it's like an epic, about man and going to war, and then, with the aid of computers, and then going to war with the computers.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
Right.
back to Buzzcocks. Like I said, this is the last song on the album. Originally.
Okay.
So they ended it with the riff from the first song, and then this weird organ thing, which I love that they were willing to go to these bizarre places.
So then these last four are
were either, unreleased or previous singles onto track 12, because we're going to review them all.
Yeah.
Orgasm Addict. The title pretty much says it all.
Yeah.
Love the complimentary guitar parts. The lyrics, it's about masturbation or just being really desperate.
Yeah.
Basically fucking anyone who will fuck you. And there's really not much else to say about it.
Yeah, it's very punk and glam.
Yeah. Track 13, Whatever Happened To. Love the bass part and the sound. Great separated guitars. They go a little glam again with the ooze.
Right, this it's like one, the Ramones and Sex Pistols.
This one I have in my notes. It feels Ramones for some reason.
They completely combine the two. So, there's a heavy influence, but I don't think they ripped either of them off.
No.
I mean, I think he takes some Johnny Rotten's vocal stylings here and there.
And that 160 song was very Ramones.
Yeah.
That one that sounded very 60s. On to track 14, the reason we're revealing this, what do I get? As I said, the only Buzzcocks song that I heard any of before this. Their sound was very ahead of its time. Very
easy. Yeah, I just love this fucking song. I always have. It's, of course, my favorite. Yeah.
Great frenetic vocals, great vocal melody. It's basically just about, it's what about it for the old school wrestling fans? What about me? What about Raven?
Right.
When am I going to get mine?
Still, like, musically, but I mean, yeah, it's just completely frenetic and just so cool.
Yeah, I love the low guitar solo again. That it's just the vocal melody, but it sounds interesting because it's at the low end of the neck.
It's amazing how much melody they bring to punk,
And ending on track 15, oh shit, the weakest one on the album for me.
It's probably the most aggressive song that they have on here.
It's just a straightforward punk song. Sounds very Ramones. I liked the echo at the end of the two guitar solos. Seems like it's just an excuse to get loud and curse a lot.
It's probably what most would expect when listening to a punk album, though.
True. It's but totally I think after all, given where they went, after all of that, it just disappointed me. Granted, it wasn't on the original album, so
yeah.
So, would you recommend it?
Oh, definitely. I'm gonna go back and listen to this one.
Yeah, I absolutely would too. I need to delve into their catalog. I'd never heard them before, and I was very impressed by how genre spanning and how ahead of they were of their time they were for a punk band.
If I had cool friends, I would have seen them live because they opened for Pearl Jam back when I have tickets, but they were just kind of like, and I was going with them, so it was on their schedule, and I was kind of like,
miss the opening act.
And then someone eventually was like, oh, like, who's opening? Like, the Buzzcocks or whatever? Do we want to see that? And I was kind of like, yeah, why not, man? It's a legendary band. Right. And,
I hate to admit it, but the only recognition I had of them aside from what do I get from the commercial is Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Oh, right.
Which is a British comedy show that borrowed their name and, of course, the first Sex Pistols album through their title. All right, that's it for another Music in a Different Kitchen. Thankfully, that's the last time I'll have to say that album on air. Or that album title on here.
And
that's
it
for 2018.
Our work is done.
And so until next year, and we always like to start the year with something big. We always do that on Zombie Takeout. So we'll be starting next year on The Hearing with Grace by Jeff Buckley, an absolutely seminal album. Very highly regarded.
I'm only familiar with his cover of Back in New York City.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was only familiar with this cover of Hallelujah, which I heard after the
Well, yeah, I guess I'm familiar with that, too.
You know, after the versions that I know, John Cage and Rufus Wainwright, which I love. It was one of my favorite songs. So I heard his version and was kind of put off by it. It took me a long time to kind of warm to the album, but I ultimately ended up really liking it. We'll get more to that in 3 weeks. Should mention, we didn't mention this on Zombie Takeout, but I think they know by now, anybody watching that, we take...
We're going to take Christmas off, man.
We take 3 weeks off for the holidays. We'll be back in... Well, I'm not going to look... Do you have a calendar offhand?
Yes, I do. So let's see. We're taking next week off, obviously. We're taking the 2nd off. Are we taking the 9th off, too?
We usually do 3 weeks.
All right. So we'll be back on the 16th.
I'll mention that on social media for Zombie Takeout.
And note to self... I got to make sure we don't record less than a week before Christmas.
Yeah. This has been nuts. Well, because we usually do the week before Christmas, but Christmas is usually later in the week. So it doesn't feel like it. Yeah, we're putting this album out, as you already all know, as we're watching on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
So that's interesting. Anyway, until next year, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.